Amen. Matthew chapter 6. I hope you have your Bible. You know, 2021 is coming. I never thought I'd live to see 2021 personally. You know, my generation, we didn't think we'd make it past 30. You know, if you was 30, you was old. You know, when I was a kid, you know, he's 30. He's ancient. We ain't going to live past 30. And a lot of them didn't. A lot of my friends didn't. There's only one left, I think, out of all my friends. And but every new year is a new opportunity, a new blessing. And but we always talk about the first of the year. What are we going to do first of the year? What are we going to do? Well, I want to talk to you about tonight what to do today. I want to talk to you about what to do first in 2021. What to do first, write that down, son, what to do first in 2021. And let's read the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, if you will. Verse 25. Brother Allen, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm going to get louder. I got you something to put in your pocket that you, it's coming in the mail, but it's late, okay? Next week you'll have it, okay? All right, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they neither they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought. Don't worry about it. Take no thought what you shall eat or what you should, we shall drink, what you'll drink. Wherewithal shall you, we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Amen. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now that's the Lord preaching. That's the Lord preaching. He said, don't worry about these things. Don't fret over these things. Let me take care of that. I'll take care of you. He said, don't you think your heavenly Father will take care of it? Amen. Jesus is speaking to people who have less than you do. People that live in mud huts. We live in castles. That's the truth. I say this all the time. The poorest people in America are richer than most of the people in poverty-stricken lands or other nations altogether. We got the fattest poor people in the world. You ever noticed that? Amen. Now, but yet, our culture, the way we're raised, the way we are, we're driven by commercialism mostly, and now communism. And everybody wants what everybody else has got. And it's not fair because he's got two suits, I only got one. And it's not fair that she's got two cars, I only have one. Well, you should have grown up with some of us. We had no suits and no car. Amen.
Amen.
And we've come a long way, baby, as the old commercial used to say. And we'll be the most thankful people in the world. Yes, so, what are we going to do first in 2021? Now, There's some excitement about first things.
Sure.
Now Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Your needs. He said, I'll supply all your needs from His riches in glory. He said, the Father has knowledge of what you need. You shouldn't worry about that. God knows what you need.
That's right.
And I always pray. I pray a prayer list and I call off these names of sick people and well people and needs and all that. And I say, thank you, Father, that you do and you always have. And I just trust you that you're going to take care of these too. Amen. That's called faith. That's called living by faith.
Amen.
Trusting that God. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach these people. He gives them things that they know in illustration in order so they can understand it. He said, God takes care of the flowers of the field. What are you worried about? God takes care of those sparrows. Why would you worry about it? Amen. And so he's trying to teach them some faith, and he's trying to tell them, God first. God first. His righteousness. Do what he says. His righteousness. What makes him right? What makes you right? Is seek that first, and then God will take care of the rest of that stuff. As David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if usually what we want, we don't really need it. It's just a want.
That's right.
It's a want. But if we'll get into God's righteousness and seek His righteousness first, He says He'll give us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean a new car every year. He means He'll give us the desires of our heart. What our heart wants is what He wants. He puts those desires in our heart. Y'all understand that? So it's exciting. I'm going into a new year. I didn't think I'd live this long. Some of y'all didn't think so either. And some of you kin folks are probably praying in that direction. But you're here. In just a few days, they're going to ring the bell and we'll have a new year, which means nothing to God. He doesn't have a calendar. But they're going to ring in a new year. And I thought about this. Well, what should I do first in the new year? So I came up with some things. And I thought about these things, the excitement of first things. I thought about the first time I gave my public testimony was exciting. I didn't even know I was going to do it. My pastor I got saved under, and I hadn't been saved but a couple of months. He was preaching revival over in Fort Mill, so I went. And I was sitting in that little church there on Sutton Road. It used to be a little church. It's big now, but I was sitting in that little church. Probably wouldn't seat 50 people, and there was about 10 of us there. And before he got up to preach, he said, I'm going to asked Brother Ron Roddy to give his testimony. I stood up and I was scared to death and I blabbered out something and cried for about 3 or 4 minutes, you know, and wept. And I don't know if they could understand me for my crying. And I gave him a testimony. But that's exciting the first time you do this. The first time you drive a car. Woo, wasn't that exciting? Hey, man, it wasn't for the guy in there with you trying to teach you. But it's an exciting time to drive that car the first time. What about the first time you dove off a diving board? Amen. Man, that was scary. Amen. I know some of y'all. Okay, the creek bank. The first time you dove off the creek bank, okay. How about the first time you got a paycheck? Woo! Man, that was exciting. I think I made made $1.60 an hour, I think, on my first paycheck. I can't remember. Real paycheck, not what they paid me at the gas station for pumping gas, you know, but a real job, you know. Boy, how exciting. And, the first time you prayed in public, wasn't that something? Woo, wow. So all kind of things. There's all kind of things that we do the first time, and it's so exciting. So I want to consider some of the things that God puts first in the order of His importance. And I want you to think about these things just for a few minutes, okay? Number one, turn to, you're already there almost. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 23 and 24. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. In verse 23, now I'm talking to Christians, okay? I'm going to get to you if you're not a Christian, but right now I'm talking to Christians, okay? What are we going to do? Let's get our stuff in order for this coming year. Verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Now, here's what he's saying. God says, you don't need to bring me a gift till you get other things straightened out with other people. Yeah. First, you go to your brother or your sister, you know what he's saying, and you get, they have ought against you, you have ought against them, and you try to make that right. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to accept that, but you did your part. You did your part. And then go back and give your gift to the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, there's all kind of laws about giving things to the Lord, and those things have to be sanctified. That'd be clean. That'd be pure. That'd be honest. Right. These sacrifices and gifts to God in the Old Testament. And, we had a bad example there in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. They did it wrong and God dropped them dead. Boy, wouldn't that be something if people got to lying about their tithes in the average church now? The Baptist church would be one third full.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preach that, brother. That's good preaching right there. Amen.
Preach again.
Amen. There you go. There's a law of forgiveness in the New Testament. Matthew 18. There's a law of forgiveness. Matthew 18. And I'm going to read it to you if you don't want to turn there. But verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. He says, then came Peter to him, to the Lord, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?
Amen.
Jesus said to him, I say, not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Woo! Now there's your law. You want, do you have an unforgiving heart? How many times are you supposed to forgive people? Well, here's what, now of course he said seven because seven is that number of fulfillment. But Jesus said, wait a minute. No! 70 times seven. Now, do you know why he said that? Because if you can do it 70 times seven, you'll do it from now on.
Yeah,
amen. It'll become a part of your life if you just forgive people. Now everybody's not going to be forgiven to you and everybody's not going to accept your forgiveness. But you're supposed to try.
Amen.
Amen. We're not supposed to hate people.
Right.
Amen. Baptists burn more bridges. Baptists burn more bridges. We as Christians just walk off and forget people and never try to make things right. You wouldn't believe how, as a pastor, I've had so many people that I thought was so loyal and would say it, and they disappear one day, and I never know why. I send them letters. They don't answer. I send them cards, they don't answer. I send them calls, they don't answer. I send text messages now. I'm a high-tech redneck. I send text messages, they don't answer. I send Facebook messages, they don't answer. What am I supposed to do? It's a terrible thing for you to have aught with a brother or sister and not tell them. It is. It's terrible. And then he says, if it's not received, look at chapter 18 again, verse 15. Chapter 18, Matthew 18, look at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't put it on Facebook. And then, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more. With that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established as Old Testament law. And if he shall neglect to hear them, those that you took with you, he wouldn't hear you and now he won't hear them. He says, if he should neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now that's not the first thing you do. That's what Baptists usually do first. But that's the last thing you do. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. In other words, leave him alone. Just separate yourself and leave him alone. Don't carry grudges. Don't do gossip. Now, this is not the New Testament message you thought you would hear on New Year's, is it? Amen. Now, look, the law of forgiveness, if it's not received, then you're done. You're done. If we as church members, Christians, Baptists, family members, friends, would go by this, we'd live a lot more regret-free life. Because I sit around wondering, what did I do? What did I do? Now, I know what I did to you, and I'll tell you, and I'll apologize. And if I don't know what I did, please tell me so I can apologize and make it up. And if I can't make it up, then we'll go our separate ways. And I love you, and you love me. But see, Christians live in such a way of hatred and envy and jealousy and unforgiveness, and that turns into backbiting and gossip.
Come on, now.
That'll destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your church. That's bitter, ugly stuff. So the first thing I think you'll do in the coming new year is make sure you got everything settled.
Yes, sir.
Just make sure you got it settled. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now, all right, Matthew chapter 6. Here's another first thing I think we ought to do. There you are, Matthew 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, I think it's verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So what's he saying? What's he saying? Take care of spiritual things first, and then the temporal things will settle themselves. Look at verse 25 there. In verse 25, chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And then he goes on and he says, God takes care of the birds, and he takes care of the flowers and all these things. And what he's saying is, God will take care of us if we put him first. Over in 1 Kings, and I don't expect you to keep up with me, but in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as I have said, but make me a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, didn't go bad, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which spake Elijah.
Yes,
now, listen to me. If we'll put spiritual things first, God will take care of the temporary things.
Amen.
Now, this was a widow woman, had a son. She said, I got just enough meal to make a cake and just enough oil to make a cake. And we're going to eat this and we're going to die. This will be our last meal. We're going to starve to death after this. And Elijah said, no, you won't. No, you won't. Go up there and make me a cake. Now, what would you think if the preacher come up to your house and said, take that cornmeal and make your last cake of cornbread for me? If you do, you won't starve. Well, if I knew the Lord sent that man, I'd make him one.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Because what's the difference? Die after this meal or the next one, you know? I mean, go ahead and see. Hey, just take a leap of faith and trust God. When God says do something, I don't see how that's going to happen. I'm scared. Well, just go ahead and jump.
Amen.
Go ahead and by faith, do what God said. And then what did it say? It never ran out. Now, she had that big old barrel and that little bit of meal in there, and she'd go over and dip it out and make a cake for him. And she sat there and watched a man eat her last meal. And then he said, all right, now go fix you one. And I'm sure she thought, are you stupid? I just gave you the last of my meal. He's going over. So she obeyed the Lord and she went over there and by faith looked down there and there's enough for another meal. And I imagine she thought, well, we'll eat this and we'll die, you know, like I said. And then the next day she went over there and there was enough for just another meal. And then the next day, just enough for another meal. And then the next day, just enough for another meal. It came daily. See, we think we've got to have, that's where these greedy politicians come from. They think they've got to have $150 million worth of stuff to live. But I've got news from you. There's some old saints of God that live one day at a time. And they live one meal at a time. And they have one pair of clothes at a time, one pair of shoes at a time, but they just don't look that far ahead. They say, well, God took care of me today. He'll do it again tomorrow. That's what's called living by faith. This year, put God's word first. Trust Him in the spiritual things, and He'll take care of the temporal things, these things that don't last. Amen? You say, well, I need a car. Well, I don't know if He's going to give you a car or not, but do you have one today? Will it get you home? Well, drive it and just trust God. When this quits, God will give me another one. Amen. It may be that He waits till it completely quits before He gives you another one. Amen. Ask all Lord. Ask Ed. He rode with Hall Roy to Columbia. Said they was going down the road like that on I-77. That truck hadn't been over 35 miles an hour in years. And they done got up to 60 and Ed thought the wheels was going to come off. And they got down there and back. Did you break 60, brother? Did you break 60? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, when it quits, He'll give you another one. Amen. If He don't, build you a cart and hook up one of those bulls out there you got. Amen. Amen. See, why don't this year we quit trusting in stuff and start trusting in Him? And if we'll put Him first, He'll give us the stuff that we need. Amen. You ever thought about this? Every time you scratch and sniff on that little lottery card, that may have been the dollar that He gave to you to get something you needed and you done threw it away. So He says, I'm not giving them another extra dollar. Hello, don't. I heard a bell ring somewhere on that. Every time an angel gets his wings, the bell rings. Whew, I better move on. I can feel arrows on that one. Listen. But this woman, by faith, did what this man said that God said. And by faith, this woman lived and her child lived. And they lived by faith one day at a time. All right. You're not mad at me, are you? All right, let's do another one. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm talking about what you're looking forward to being first this year. I said, number one, get things right between you and anybody you might not have it right with. And I said, number two, start trusting in Him and live spiritual and let Him do the temporal part, okay? And then Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote, or that big stick, that log that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye? And behold, a beam is thine own eye. Now don't get mad at me, this is what the Lord said. Thou hypocrite. Woo! Average Baptist church wouldn't let Jesus preach anymore. Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You got that beam in your eye. How in the world can you help somebody get a stick out of their eye? You can't see good either. Matter of fact, you don't see good as they do. I'm not skipping it. You know what we'll do? This year, we'll judge ourselves first. We'll judge ourselves first. If we'll judge ourselves first, I don't think we'll be so hard on other people.
That's right.
Amen. By the way, there ain't no angel wings in here. I don't see any halos. You bunch of fallen sinners saved by the grace of a holy God. Kept by the grace of God. Blessed by the grace of God. We're not any more worthy than anybody else. Hey, what a wonder why he even saved us in the first place. I want you to notice this, the kind of judging we ought not do. Now, we ought to judge some things. Jesus tells us to judge things. You judge spiritual judgment. But here's the judgment you don't do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer." Now, none guilty in that. Would you say amen right now? None of y'all guilty of that. But wait a minute, we ain't done yet. "Or as a busybody in other men's matters." Now that's where it gets us right there. Nobody wants to read the last part of that verse. "Well, I'm not a murderer." You ever heard anybody say that? "Well, I ain't that bad. I ain't never robbed a bank." But you robbed the Lord of tithes and offerings. "Well, I ain't that bad. I ain't never killed nobody." But Jesus said, if you thought in your heart, you've already done it. Come on. We'll judge our first self first. And the kind of judging we ought not do, we ought not run around and judge other people and say, "Well, there's a murderer, there's a thief," and all that stuff, and run up there and say, "Did you know what she did? Let me tell you, you know me, I never would gossip, but." And by the way, if they ever look at you and say, "You can tell me anything," watch out. It'll be on Facebook, Twitter, MeWe, a Pearl, whatever all those new ones are. It'll be all over that thing, and you'll say, "I wonder who told that." Well, I'll tell you who told that. The one that said, "Now, I would never gossip, you know me." Proverbs 18:13 says this. This heater's just like Baptist. It's either hot or cold. It never, I'm cold 1 minute, I'm hot the next. Matthew 18:13, but Lord, I ain't complaining. Thank you for the heat. Matthew 18:13 says this. Proverbs says this. I got my mind on heat. Forgive me, Lord. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him." You know what he's saying? Don't judge too hastily or harshly. By the way, don't believe everything you see and hear. Amen. We are to judge, though. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits." We are to judge. We are. Everybody names the name of Christ is not a Christian. You can't trust everything people say. You got to make some righteous judgments. If you don't, you're going to be in a mess. He says that we ought to mark those that cause division. If you want to look that up, I'm not turning there. I'm in a hurry, but Romans 16:17, he says, mark those which cause division in the church. And I would say the same thing in the family. Yeah, or anywhere. People that divide people, mark them. So you'll know who they are. Stay away from them. Now, I'm not saying talk about them or run them down or nothing, but I'm saying, and I'm probably the dumbest one in this area. Just let people take advantage of you because you think that they didn't mean it to do the first time or the second time or the third time or the tenth time they did it to you. Mark them. Say, "Now, I remember where he came from. I'm not listening to him anymore. I remember what he did last time. Now, I love him, but I'm going to mark him." And we can, listen, he says that we ought to, in 2 Thessalonians, I'm not turning there, chapter 3, verse 56, he said we're to withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Amen. Those who don't live right and you're trying your best to live for the Lord, stay away from them. Don't hate them. Don't talk about them. They may not be as far in the faith as you are. They may not be as grown as you are in the faith. But look, if you hang around these people, you know, dirt will get on you too.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Withdraw from those who walk disorderly. There's a lot of people that walk disorderly. They disobey God. And they cause trouble everywhere they go. Now, I can make judgment on that. I don't have to hate them to do that. And I shouldn't gossip about them. But I don't want them over at the house. I want them to come down here. We'll preach the devil out of them. We'll sing it out of them. We'll do whatever we got to do. Get them down to the altar and lay hands on them. But I'm not walking with them. I ain't hanging around with them. I ain't going over to their house having tea. I'm not doing it. And you say, well, you're a Pharisee. Well, that's not what the Bible says. I'm just trying to obey the word. Amen. I'm trying to judge without being judgmental or condemning. I don't know if they're saved or not, Sister Mary. I don't know. I don't know their heart. I don't know their situation. I don't know what they're going through. But I know this. I don't need to go through that again. I done been through that.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
I know this. God chastens his children, and I don't want to be there when the bomb falls. I don't want to be in the car whenever they start getting chastened. Amen. 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 Boy, that went over like a ton of bricks. This year you'll judge yourself first. And you'll reserve judgment for God, but there are some things you need to judge, okay? And I'm afraid our churches have gotten full of people that we didn't look at them first. The churches are mostly just social centers now and entertainment centers. But I'm afraid it's because the people in the church did not judge righteous judgment. And these people got in positions of authority and power and destroyed the power of the local church. Y'all still with me? Now don't judge too quickly. Judge yourself first. It is permitted. But it's not permitted to say who's saved and who's lost. If Billy Burgess calls me from the county jail before, he probably knows the number. I know Danny does. Danny knows the number. If one of them called me from the jail tomorrow and said I'm in jail, I'd go up there.
Amen.
And I'd love them. And you say, well, I knew I'd catch that sorry rascal. Well, even if they did, except by the grace of God, I'd be the one in jail. Come on, help me here. If you got what you deserve, you'd be in jail too. Oh, I know you wouldn't. Oh, I know you wouldn't. Amen. But we'll love people. I don't know who's saved and who's lost. I just know what you tell me. God knows. God knows. But if you live disorderly, don't think I'm coming over there to eat Sunday dinner with you. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Unless you got roast beef. Well, roast beef will cover a multitude of sins. If you're eating fried chicken again. See, what Jesus is saying, don't judge unjustly or unfairly or unmercifully. I don't know what you're going through. Well, I get to think about what some people's going through in our church right now, and I'm going to cry. And somebody said, "Would you did you hear what they said?" I said, "I don't want to hear." In stress, you might say anything. That kind of stress. Well, did you hear what they did? I don't want to hear it. You might do anything in that kind of stress. You don't know what you'll do. And then last, but not least, Matthew chapter 8. I'm just wanting to try to get us ahead, okay? What are we going to put first in the new year? What are we going to put first? Look at Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 21 and 22. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me, or in old English that means allow, me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Did you know Jesus wants to be first?
Amen.
Now, this young man, he wanted to wait. He said, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to bury my father. Now, it doesn't say that his father was dead. It would have said, my father just died and I need to go bury him. What he's saying is, my father's old, I'm going to wait till he dies, then I'll come follow you. He didn't say my father is dead. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, the thing we'll do first this year is put Jesus first and not wait. Do you know what the greatest commandment is? Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Y'all still with me? You're not mad at me, are you? Matthew 22. Well, we're not through yet. Look at verse 36. In Matthew 22, I got to get there myself. Matthew 22, verse 36, he says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, look at this, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Of course it is. And by the way, if you can do that, you ain't got to worry about the rest of those commandments. And then verse 39, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, if you can do these two, you can keep them all. If you can love God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, listen, if you can love your neighbor as you love yourself, and by the way, there's nobody here don't love yourself. You got up and fed yourself this morning. You clothed yourself. And he said, all of those other commandments hang on those two right there.
Amen.
If you do those two, you'll be the best Christian to ever live right there.
Amen.
So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we have to put Jesus first.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Jesus said that you got to love him more than you do your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your children. You got to love him first. All right, and then last, Matthew 23. Look at Matthew 23, if you will. Verse 25 and 26, Matthew 23. Y'all see what I'm saying? What are we going to put first this year? What are we going to put first? You say, well, my job, I got to have this job. You can get another job. I tell people that all the time, you can get another job. Don't worry about that job. You say, well, my health. God will take care of your health. If you obey him, he'll take care of it. Now, you can eat yourself to death. You can drink yourself to death. But that ain't obeying God. Amen? Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Oh, my goodness. Jesus said that? That little baby Jesus said that? I'm telling you, they wouldn't have him in the average pulpit today. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithes. Oh, my goodness. In verse 24, he said, you blind guides, strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Oh, my goodness. Verse 25, he says, you're hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
Amen.
Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. In verse 27, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres." That's a grave. That's a box. You know, they got them out there at the cemetery, above ground sepulchre. Unwhited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all cleanliness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Oh my goodness. Well, what are we going to do, preacher? What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We need to, what Jesus wants us to do is cleanse the inside first.
Yes.
Cleanse the inside first. Well, how do you do that? Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance means saying, "God, I am wrong. I'm wrong in everything. And God, you are right. So I'm turning from me to you." And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're now a new creature. He makes us new from the inside, then out. He gives us a new heart, new mind, new spirit, new life, new name, new home, new family, everything. From the inside out. I don't expect people to get saved one day and look and act exactly right the next day. That's a hypocrite that looks for that. By the way, I'm still working on right myself.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It took me 3 haircuts to get a man haircut. Didn't it you, Billy? It took me 3 haircuts. I'll never forget. I got saved and I got convicted about having me and my wife had matching hairdos, you know, those shags. And parted down. I was so pretty, you know. And the preacher never preached on it. My preacher never preached against nothing. He just preached how to be saved. But I got convicted about that thing, and I went and got a haircut, and it was down to here, you know. If you saw my old picture, still in the middle part, it's down to here instead of down to here. And went to church, and his daddy took me to hear a man named Sammy Allen. And Sammy Allen could spit as good as he could preach and do them at the same time. And wow, man. And he went walking up down those aisles preaching. And he'd stop and he'd quote scripture. He'd do them glasses like that. He said, "Glory to God." And he'd quote a whole chapter, you know, while he was preaching. And I was scared to death. I'd never seen nothing like that. I'd never been in but one church in my life. That's the one I was saved in. And he stopped right over at me. I was sitting on the end, made a big mistake when Sammy's preaching. He'd sweat. He'd take that sweat and go like that and it'd go all over you. He'd get the spitting, you know, while he was preaching. And later on, I just realized it was holy sweat, holy spit. But he stopped right there at me and he put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, "You know, the Bible says shameful men to have long hair. It's a glory to a woman." And so a lot of men will be ashamed. He said, "But then some of you, you get convicted about it and you go get a halfway haircut and you still got fender skirts." And my hair was right there. You know what I did, don't you? I went and got me a haircut. But see, he wasn't judging me. He was trying to help me. But the point is, you can't look at somebody and tell how saved they are. They might have been saved a while back. They might not have. Amen. They might have habits they're still hanging on to. They might not. Amen. That ain't the way to do it. Look, you clean up the inside first and God will clean up the outside. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Man, I'm out of time, but I'm going to go on anyway. Is that all right?
Listen. There you go.
We went from Southern Baptist Church, went to Independent Baptist Church. Brother Wayne Smith, blessed hope, ain't even there no more, was a great doctrinal preacher. That's all he preached. My pastor I got saved in was a great salvation preacher. That's all he preached. So I went from one extreme to the other. And got kind of pharisaical there, you know, for a while. And so then we went to Independent Bible Baptist Church, Brother Jason Coley, and he loved people. He loved people to death. But when we went in, we had to, that sidewalk. You remember you went up and had a cover up, went up that sidewalk, that little church, and there were about 6 men out there just Well, we were in North Carolina, but, you know, people make a living off of tobacco. Churches are built off of tobacco money, you know, tithing on. And the Bible never says you'll go to hell for smoking, just you'll smell like you've been there. But, and you had to do this to get in, and it just rubbed me wrong, you know, and I'll never forget, Joe Coley, after he got saved, you know, and got called to preach, he told me one day, he said, I said something about smoking. He said, brother, don't worry about them guys. They're on fire for God. And later on, the pastor fixed that. He made him go hide in the back if he had to smoke. And I always tell people, if you got to smoke, do it in your car around here. We don't want our kids learning how to smoke like I did. But the point being, these guys were good guys. They were good. The Sunday school teacher smoked. You remember that Skeet smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day? I mean, that man could smoke now. But he, man could teach the Bible. He loved Jesus. He loved people. He had a humble heart. And look, I told somebody one day, if the worst thing he does is smoke cigarettes as a Christian, he's doing pretty good. If that's the worst thing you do, you're doing all right. Amen. I don't know how I got on that, but maybe you needed that. I don't know. But repentance comes before religion. Because if you take up religion and you don't repent of the way you are, you're not going to change. So don't be a hypocrite and you've never repented and you're talking bad about other people for things that they don't go to church, they drink liquor, they whatever they do. Don't go talking about those people. Though that all that's wrong. But you get inside of yourself cleaned up first.
Amen.
And then pray for them that God will save them.
Amen.
And He'll start cleaning them up too.
Amen.
This fellow told me one time, said, you don't want me at your church. I said, I do, or I wouldn't be here. He said, you don't know what I've done. I said, I don't care. He said, I served 10 years in penitentiary and you don't know why. I said, don't tell me. He said, if I go to your church and sit down beside people, if they knew what I've done, they'd be scared and move. I said, if you come to my church and sit down beside people and you knew what they did, you'd be scared and move. Amen. I think in the coming year, we need to repent before we get religion. Amen. Don't light candles till you get the light inside. Amen. Don't do ceremonies until you do the best ceremony called the new birth. First, see what God sees on others and then look at it that way. So, here's some first for our new year. Your brother, then your gift. The spiritual, then the temporal. Judge yourself, then judge others. What Jesus wants, then what you want. First, the inside, then the outside. And if we can do that in New Year, God will bless us. God will bless. He'll pour out us blessings if we'll just do that. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you are going to try with me to do that?
Amen.
Amen. I'm doing that. I'm going to try. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be successful every time, but I'm going to try. And that's what He looks at. Amen. He looks at the heart. And if we'll do that, God will bless us.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, you know every